have been reading, as I read through this account of just the last few moments that Jesus hung on the cross, I can't help but think about how we compare our own lives and our own circumstances or we should actually compare our circumstances to what Jesus was going through as he hung on this cross. And I believe, as importantly, we also ought to think about those other two men that were alongside beside him, on either side of him. Because really what we see is a contrast between two people. It's interesting to me to think about that one man that had a glimmer of hope. And I try to put myself in his position as a sinner. I'm no better than he is. And I need my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine what was going through this man's mind. I mean, have you ever had a day that was any worse than the day that Jesus and the two robbers were having hanging up on that cross? No. We've never had a day that even compares to that. And yet, we spend our time complaining and thinking about how bad we have it and how tough things are sometimes, as if there's no hope. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anything that we can see in this story, in this factual account, it is that there truly is hope. You know, you look at the conversations that these men had, particularly the two robbers. And the one robber was just railing on Jesus Christ. And he was talking about how horrible he was. And after that other man had just had enough of it, after all the railing and the griping and complaining that he had against Jesus Christ, look with me in verse 40. That man rebuked the other, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." He's done nothing wrong, he said. Well, some might think that the appearance of Jesus Christ hanging on that cross meant that he had failed. I mean, that's the picture of failure to man. But what we actually see in the words of this robber hanging on the cross beside Christ is that he has not failed. Jesus has not failed. In fact, he is overcoming and he is prevailing. And this man recognizes that. And denying what appeared to be failure, this man mustered up the courage to say these words. In verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Alexander Pope wrote these words. He said, "Hope springs eternal in the hearts of men." And I don't know that that's necessarily true, ladies and gentlemen. I think there are many in this world that have lost hope. They have substituted other things for hope. Uncertainty, despair, depression, those kind of things have been substituted for their hope. And what we see in our schools, I'm just amazed at the teachers that try to destroy the idea that there is something beyond this world. The fact that there is something beyond this world. God doesn't want us to live in despair. He doesn't want us to live in this kind of condition, replacing pain and suffering for hope, which creates confusion and doubt in our own minds and helplessness. What we need to understand is God placed eternity within us when He created us. Listen to the words in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. "He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." What he's saying is there, he's put an element of his own likeness in us, but we can't understand all there is to understand about God. So this evening, as we talk about building lives as Christians, this construction progress and project, if you will. What I want us to understand this evening is that we need to believe in what the Bible tells us. We want to do that, but we need to and we must believe what God has told us. God has given us something to believe in, and that is what gives us hope. Let's talk a little bit about our hope that we have in Jesus Christ, under construction, building hope. I want us to turn now to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I want to read verse 26 with you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is going to be the starting point, really, for our discussion of hope. This is where hope begins, I believe. Verse 26. This is in the midst of God creating the world and everything in it. God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created him. Ladies and gentlemen, what this tells me is that God created us with eternity within us. You know, it's really something that we almost immediately become aware of as we get older. As we get any age on us, we start to realize that there is something that we long for. And actually, it doesn't matter what religion you might belong to. There are just about every religion you can think of has this idea of there is something beyond this life. For instance, the Hindus, they believe in reincarnation. The Vikings, they envisioned that they became warriors and they sailed on the seas and fought great battles. Historically, rarely, if ever, has there been a society that did not believe that there was something beyond this world. But what man tries to do is explain what that is in his own terms. And what God did not intend for us to do is to depend on our own wisdom to understand eternity, to find out what eternity is all about. He planned all along for us to listen to what He says about the matter. And that's why He put His words down where we could understand them and read them. He wanted us to believe that there could be nothing more wonderful and beautiful than spending time in His presence. And ladies and gentlemen, as you read through that account in Genesis, what you realize is that God created a perfect world. And He created a world where there was eternal hope. As I said, He put hope into the hearts of man. And in that perfect world that He created for Adam and Eve, they had that hope. And they didn't need anything else. But unfortunately, as we read in the account and as Paul describes over in Romans, Adam sinned. And what happened when he sinned is he took away that perfect condition that he was in. Sin brought about death in his life. And so at that point, things were not perfect anymore. And at that point, there was separation between God and man. But God was not willing to leave man in that condition. God did not want man to have no hope. And that's the condition that man was in at that point. If he were to go and to eat of that tree that would give him everlasting life, what would have happened is he would have spent the rest of his everlasting life in sinful death, spiritual death. But what God did is He provided a plan. A plan that would provide hope for mankind. He devised a plan we call redemption, and it involved Jesus Christ. And Jesus offers much, much more, ladies and gentlemen, than what this present life has to offer. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We talked this morning about our minds and how we are to change our minds, renew our minds. Paul talks about the things that we are to set our mind upon. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1, Paul writes this, "If then You have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. That last verse there, ladies and gentlemen, is all about hope. That's what Jesus Christ gives us. An unpleasant experience convinces us in this life that there's nothing more for us until we think about what Paul has said. And again, Christ, who is our life, when He appears, you will appear with Him in glory. That's what we need to believe on. That's what I believe that man on the cross understood to some extent, was that Jesus Christ could provide something for him beyond his condition. As believers of Jesus Christ, we know for certain, ladies and gentlemen, for certain that He is the only way that we can get to heaven. He says, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father by me. So, when you think that hope is lost, I want you to think about the fact that God created you with hope. He created you with eternity in your heart. He didn't intend for you to spend your time thinking all the time about the things that are on earth, but to think about things that are beyond this earth. He created us with eternity, and that's where we began. But then we began to grow in our hope. And I want to talk a little bit with you about how we grow in that hope. The thought of complete and permanent fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is just something that that is wonderful. And that's what our hope is all about. It has been a thrilling proposition for the faithful for ages. However, that hope doesn't just immobilize us. As we talked this morning, we have to be active in our duties to God and to others. We cannot just continue in our current state. Our hope must grow as well. And I believe that hope grows when we fix our eyes on God. And I'd like for us to turn now to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Hope grows when we fix our eyes on God and we learn more and more about purity. Listen to what John says in verse 1 beginning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God? And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You see, as we learn to exemplify purity and become more and more like Christ and become more aggravated and irritated and angry about the shortcomings in our life, our hope is growing. That's how we measure our hope. Paul talked about clinging to things that are good and abhorring evil. When we do that and recognize that in our lives, that is when our hope is growing, ladies and gentlemen. Setting our minds on Christ to promote this growth is what we have to do. It is a daily endeavor for us to do this. It's not something that we just do here and there and hit and miss at times. It's something that we do hourly at times, daily at times, certainly. But it is part of our ongoing life. Thinking about Jesus, setting our mind on Jesus to promote growth. And so when you wake up in the morning, as Brother Joe Cunningham tells me, when his feet hit the floor, he's thinking about what God has given him and what God has promised him. Every day, he's thinking about what God has given him to do today, the blessings He's given him to use today, and what He has promised for him tomorrow. And when we lie down at night, What we need to do is we need to think about God at that time and reflect on the day, reflect on our failures, reflect on our successes, and then think about the fact that God has given us something beyond this life. You know, one of the things that we do is we admire people that have a single-minded purpose. And what I mean by that is, you think about someone that you admire. For instance, maybe it would be an athlete. An athlete that's very successful. Any athlete that has any success, if they have anything beyond ability, they have single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. They have a goal in mind. And they're working towards that goal. And they're training. They're training their bodies. They're training their minds. They're moving towards that goal. And that is what their mind is set upon. And the point I'm trying to make with us this evening is, when we get up in the morning and when we lay down at night, we need to be focused, single-mindedly thinking about Jesus Christ, thinking about what God has put in His Holy Scriptures to guide our lives. And if we do that, ladies and gentlemen, our hope will grow. Not only do we set our minds, though, on Jesus Christ, but we also set our minds on heaven. And that is where growth is promoted. In good times and bad. You know, a lot of times we think spatially and we think about circumstances. And it helps to think about heaven to get past those things. Now, I'm not saying by any means that heaven is constricted to things like the physical world is. Heaven is not just a place. Heaven is an existence. Heaven is presence with God in His very presence. And ladies and gentlemen, that gives us hope. Think about those things, and that will increase your hope. I think about Abraham and Isaac and Sarah, and I want to turn with you to Hebrews chapter 11. I know you know this scripture. I know it's familiar to you. But I think it's important for us to reflect on this from time to time, remind ourselves at what these people were working towards. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 8. The Hebrew writer says this, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward, not backward, forward, to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." What he's saying there, ladies and gentlemen, is it's permanent. It never goes away. "By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they'd been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Does that not give you hope, ladies and gentlemen, to read that? To think about those people that left their homeland? Think about Abraham. I mean, God called on him to leave his home, not once, but several times. Abraham was always on the move, seems like. He did what God asked him to do. And what the Hebrew writer tells us is he did that because he was looking much, much farther than just what's down the road. He says he was looking for a city that had foundation, that has foundations, that is permanent, that is built by God. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to think about those examples like Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Joshua and others who looked well beyond their circumstances. And they didn't have to wonder about what God was going to do. They knew what He had promised. And that's where they laid their hope. We need to look at ourselves as exiles as well. We sing that song, "Here we are, but straying pilgrims." Do we ever step back and think about what we're saying when we sing that song, ladies and gentlemen? Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Sometimes I don't think about those words because often I live as though I'm permanent right there in Lubbock, Texas. I'm not a straying pilgrim. I'm a permanent resident. When I get stuck in that rut, it's when my hope begins to wane. But when I look beyond what's there, when I look beyond what's in this world, to heaven, to the promise that God has made, ladies and gentlemen, that gives me great hope. That's how we grow our hope. Set our minds on what Jesus has done, what God has done, and on heaven. And then, hopefully, we begin to mature. Maturity does not happen overnight. You know, as a parent, it's always a struggle to fight that desire of your children to grow up and to do their own thing when they're not quite ready. And you want them, I mean, it's hard as a parent, and the parents here know this full well. It's hard when you're a parent because you want your child to become independent and you want them to go and do things. But yet you still want to protect them and you don't want them to go out too early. Maturity just takes time. There's no other way around it. I think about men of the Bible that lived a lifetime and their faith grew, and as their faith grew, their hope grew. I think about Jeremiah. He was surrounded by the wreckage of his own people. They had made their life misery because of their sins. And he would have to be the one to tell the Israelites that they were going to be going into captivity in Babylon. And not only that, but it was going to be 70 years of captivity. Can you imagine Jeremiah's having to tell God's people, this is what's going to happen? How was he going to do that? I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. How in the world do you muster up the courage to stand before God's people and tell them, they're chosen, the chosen people, you're going to go into captivity? Look at verse 10. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. You want to know how Jeremiah was able to say to face those people and tell them what was coming ahead? It's because God had told him, I'm going to revisit you and I'm going to give you a future and I'm going to give you hope, something that you can stand upon. Even at the lowest point, ladies and gentlemen, the Israelites were able to look at the future as God says and the glory that He had planned for them. And God did exactly what He said He was going to do, didn't He? He brought His people out of bondage. He didn't break His promise. And eventually what happened is, as we read on, the seed of Abraham came about. The Savior of the world came about. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that God's chosen people would have to go into bondage like this? But they had hope because of what God had promised them. Well, we can compare our lives really to that same story. Scripture says in Psalm 90 verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. About the same amount of time we have on this earth that the Israelites had to stay in captivity. And we have to accept whatever comes our way in that 70 or maybe 80 years, give or take a few years. But we accept those things because we have hope. And we have a future. And what we understand as we mature is that life is really just a proving ground. That's what it's all about. I'll tell you a story about a man that was great influence on my life. He was my elder for many years. I guess probably close to 20 years he was my elder. His name was Eugene Pringle. And he came down with cancer. It was pretty sudden. When they discovered it, it was in advanced stages. And so His health began to deteriorate pretty quickly, in fact, to a point where he finally stopped treatment and he just went home to die. And so when he went home, I would go by periodically, probably a couple of times a week, out to their place. And I would sit down and I'd just visit with him. And he knew that his time was drawing near. And the thing that impressed me was that he was always either talking about me or asking about my family, my boys, and he'd tell me how much he loved my boys, or we were talking about heaven. And the reason he did that is because he had hope. He knew that his life was over. He knew there was no more work that he could do on this earth. But he had hope. And he never gave up on that. Not till he drew his last breath did he give up on his hope. I had been scheduled to do a meeting in Texarkana. And just a few days, literally, before I was to leave, Brother Eugene Pringle passed away. And he had asked me to participate in his funeral. And I had agreed to do that. And so I was really in a predicament, I felt like, because I felt responsible to carry on with my promise. I mean, I wasn't going to break my promise. But Eugene's widow, Mona, came to me. And she said, "I know that Eugene has asked you to participate in his funeral. But," she said, "his life is done here on earth. He's gone on to receive his reward. And what Eugene would want would be for you to go to Texarkana and see if you might help those people in their efforts to spread the gospel. So don't you think another thing about staying here. We'll get somebody to replace you. You go on and do your work." Mona and Eugene have hope. That's what they live their life for. That's an example to me. That's an illustration to you of what Christians have, mature Christians. Hope. Ours is a living hope. That's exactly what Peter says. Let's go back to our scripture that we read earlier, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Ours is a living hope, ladies and gentlemen, because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. In verse 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating, which when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." I'm convinced that we have something that even the prophets didn't have, ladies and gentlemen. We have the written Word of God. And we have the resurrected Christ that they did not have. And it is because of that, and only because of that, ladies and gentlemen, that He was raised from the dead, that we have any hope of anything beyond this life. So this evening, I hope that I've given you some ideas to remind you of how great our hope is. We need to accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can only come to the Father through Him. We can't go through life saying, I did it my way. It doesn't work. We need to do it His way. Do things His way. Set your mind on Christ. Set your mind on heaven every single day. That will take our minds off of distractions, ladies and gentlemen. That will take us off our minds off of the temptations that we face every day. This thinking will orient our lives toward heaven and toward God and away from this earth and all its distractions. And we do that by determining in our minds that this life is simply a proving ground. It's simply a proving ground. It's a place where we prepare ourselves for eternity. That is the hope that we have. I'm going to end with a final passage from Revelation chapter 22. Beautiful passage of Scripture. We cannot comprehend, ladies and gentlemen, what awaits us in heaven. But God has given us just a little glimpse of that in Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 1. John says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp for sun. For the Lord of God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." That's what our hope is based on. The promises that God has given us. The promise of the land where there is no night. There is no pain and suffering. There is no fear. Where we are in the very presence of our God. I hope I've given you some things that will help you as you continue on your journey through life, as you continue to build your Christian lives. Our hope is something that we've just got to use as our anchor. As we say. And this evening, there might be someone in the audience that's not a Christian. And I will tell you, and I don't take this lightly, you really don't have any hope if you're not a Christian. You may not realize that. You may not realize the gravity of that. But that's a sobering thing. You have no hope, ladies and gentlemen, without Jesus Christ and without being a child of His. And so if you're here this evening, and you want the hope that we have as Christians, as children of His, then why don't you become one tonight? Become a child of God. Don't wait a moment longer. It's what you ought to do. Are you here this evening and your hope is not as strong as it ought to be because maybe there's something in your life that's amiss? Maybe there's something that's going on in your life that's distracting you? Maybe you need some prayers. Maybe you need the prayers of the elders. Maybe we can help you with that. Whatever you have this evening that might be a need, would you come forward and make it known as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?